the Chiamo, Apura, Kanu, Apurite, Kaitnut, Medinde, Ojirafo, Kwesi, Radne, Mpata, Akan, Akwamumai, Namaruka, Etifi, Mu, Ojirafo, Ojiramai, Mu. Greetings to all Apurakani, Apurite, Kaitnit, people meaning Africans, black people. My name is Ojirafo, Kwesi, Radne, Mpata, Akan, Ojirafo of the Akwamu Nation in North America, within Ojiramai, the purified nation. Apurakani, Apurite, Kaitnit, people in the Western Hemisphere. Yeda say we thank you once again for tuning into our broadcast. We are opening up the chat room. If you have any questions or comments and you would like to, that you would like to make in the chat room, you must log in as a user in order to interact. If you do not have a username, you can sign up for one quickly in Blog Talk. So we typically have four broadcasts on a weekly basis. On Joda, on Monday night, we have Akanfo Nanasom, Ancient Authentic Akan Ancestral Religion, where we deal specifically with the Akan expression of ancestral religion, first and foremost because we are Akan, secondly because of the misinformation being propagated regarding Akan ancestral religion, cosmology, culture, ritual practice, and so forth, not only from individuals in the Western Hemisphere, but also from individuals on the continent of Afuraka, Afurait Kayat, Africa, Ghana, Ivory Coast, individuals who have been infected with the pseudo-religions, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, Jainism, and so forth, and the fictional cartoon characters who never existed, Jesus, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Ishmael, Buddha, Brahman, Allah, Yahweh, and so forth. All of these fictional characters, those of our people have been infected with that white culture, pseudo-religion, and white culture in general. That infection has been woven into the fabric of their presentation of ancestral religion, so therefore it's a tainted presentation. So we deal with ancient, authentic Akan ancestral religion, dealing with our ancient ancestral origins and ancient Kanat, which is the title of Nubia. Our people migrated from ancient Kanat, the Khan land, first land, foremost land from Nubia, west over 2,000 years ago after invasions and the fall of ancient Kemet and northern Kanat, Egypt, Kemet and northern Kanat, northern Nubia. Some of our people migrated from those regions, reestablished the Kanat Empire, the so-called Nubian Empire, but the Kanat Empire in the western part of Afuraka, Afuraikai, Africa, and reestablished that Kanat or Ghana civilization, the Ghana Empire. Centuries subsequent to that, because of Muslim invasions, some of our people migrated further south into the savannah and forest belt regions of today's contemporary Côte d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast, and the Republic of Ghana, and reestablished Akana or Akan civilization once again. And then centuries later, some of our people were taken from those regions and forced into North, Central, South America, the Caribbean, and Europe during the Musuokesie, the great perversity, the enslavement era, and this is how we ended up as Akan people in the Western Hemisphere. However, we maintain our ancestral religious traditions. So in Suriname, Akan ancestral religion is called Winti from the Akan term Winti. In Guyana, Akan ancestral religion is called Komfa from the Akan term Okomfo. In Jamaica, Akan ancestral religion is called Obia from the Akan term Obayi. In the United States, in North America, Akan ancestral religion is called Hoodoo from the Akan term Undu, which means medicine from roots, trees, plant life. It also means to become heavy with the spirit through spirit possession and spirit communication. And we also find these same terms in the language of ancient Kanit and Kemet in the Medutu, the hieroglyphs showing Undu meaning medicine from roots, trees, plant life. It also means to become heavy with the spirit, yet it was also a title of the land itself, the Undu land, Nubia, and the Undu people. It also means the offerings given to the shrines, placed on the shrines of the deities and ancestral spirits, the Undu. And the shrines themselves were called Undu shrines. So we deal with ancient, authentic Akan ancestral religion on Joda Monday night, purifying concepts, culture, ritual practice, cosmology, and so forth. On Awukuda, Akwada Wednesday night, we have Egwa Marketplace where we showcase Afurakani, Afurakaiti businesses, organizations, and institutions, those who are serving the Afurakani, Afurakaiti African Black community in a positive capacity, those who maintain their ancestral religious values in the context of their service to the community. And we also have published our Okom Economic Development Model, an approach to economic development rooted in our ancestral religious values. So that's what we deal with on Egua Marketplace. On Yauda Thursday, which is also Yada Abada Thursday night, we have Amin Sim, Affairs of the Nation, where we deal with issues confronting us as an Omine, as a nation, specifically Ojira Mine, the purified nation of Afurakani, Afurakaiti people in the Western Hemisphere. We approach our issues from an Amaniye perspective, meaning a nationist perspective. We deal with Amaniye nationism, which is the purification of nationalism. We deal with nationism, an approach to nation building and restoration rooted in our ancestral religious values. We understand that an Omine, a nation, is a living, breathing entity akin to an organ, which is a living, breathing entity comprised of a number of different cells. And when the cells work in harmony with one another, they also serve the parent organ of which they are a component part. And they also serve the energy complex that governs that organ. And we are cells as Afurakani, Afurakaiti people within the great divine body of the Supreme Being. When we have been directed by our ancestresses and ancestors, the Nananom Nsamanfo, our spiritually cultivated ancestresses and ancestors of our direct spirit genetic blood circles. We're directed by them and the Abosom, the forces in nature, the deities, the goddesses and gods, the spirit forces in nature, the Abosom. When we're directed to coalesce in a specific region of the Earth Mother's body here in the West, the Western region of our body, blend ancestral blood circles in that region, deal with the plant life, animal life, mineral life in this region of the western portion of the Earth Mother's body, interface with the unique expression of the Abosom, the forces in nature, the Orisha, the Vodou in this region of the Earth Mother's body, and interface with the Earth Mother divinities, Asase Afua and Asase Ya, the twin Earth Mother divinities themselves, as they manifest that unique energy in this region of their body. That confluence of factors allows us to forge a locative identity, a unique expression of Afurakani, Afurakaiti culture, African Black culture, and ancestral religious practice, an approach to nation building rooted in our ancestral religious values and our true strength. So we have a unique expression of ancestral culture coming from our experience, and we utilize that unique expression to address our specific issues as Ojira Mine, the purified nation, Afurakani, Afurakaiti people in the Western Hemisphere. So this is what we deal with on Amin Sim, Affairs of the Nation on Yauda on Thursday nights. Tonight is Benada, Abinada Tuesday. We have Ojira. Ojira means purification. It also means to celebrate a ceremony of purification. That is the definition in the language of ancient Kemet and Kanat in the Medutu, and of course in the Akan language, the same definition, Ojira meaning purification, Jira meaning to celebrate a ceremony of purification. We specifically address purifying understanding of concepts, culture, religious practice, and so forth. We understand that ancestral religion, in essence, is the ritual incorporation of divine law and the ritual restoration of divine balance. That means through ritual, we incorporate those things, objects, deeds, and entities we need to incorporate in order to harmonize our thoughts, intentions, and actions with divine order. And through ritual, we reject those things, objects, deeds, and entities we need to reject in order to restore balance to our thoughts, intentions, and actions, and thus realign ourselves with divine order. So the ritual incorporation of divine law and the ritual restoration of divine balance, these are the expansive and contractive poles of ancestral religion. We state that Ojira, purification, operationalizes Nanasom. Nanasom is our term for ancestral religion in general. Purification, Ojira, operationalizes Nanasom. Through purification, we operationalize our practice of ritually incorporating divine law and ritually restoring divine balance. Our culture, our way of life, as Afurakani, Afurakani people is impacted by ancestry religion every moment of every day. Our culture, our way of life is the divine acceptance, the law or love of order, and the divine rejection, the hate of disorder and its purveyors. We seek to align every thought, intention, and action with divine order every moment of every day. When we make legitimate mistakes, we engage the ritual process to incorporate law and restore balance so we can get back on track with executing our divine function in creation. As cells within the great divine body of the Supreme Being, we have a specific function to execute in the great divine body, unique to our structure and our character, just like every cell and organ system within your body has a specific form and function to execute within the body. When we make mistakes, we engage the ritual process to get back on track. And therefore, we're able to get back in alignment with order so that we can execute our function moment to moment. This is how ancestor religion impacts every aspect of our lives in the true sense. So we need to purify concepts, purify cosmology, purify understandings of ritual practice and so forth. We don't deal in this broadcast just with the Akan tradition, but our traditions wherever we exist in the world. We maintained our ancestor religious practices, and because we maintained our ancestor religious practices in our blood circles in the Western Hemisphere, even during the Umusuo Kesie, the great perversity, the enslavement era, we were empowered and guided by the deities, the Abosom, and our spiritually cultivated ancestresses and ancestors, the Nananom Unsamampo, and the best means by which to wage war against the whites and their offspring, our absolute enemies, exterminate them, and force the end of enslavement in the Western Hemisphere. So this is what we deal with on Ojirada, Purification Day, and so forth for this broadcast. So tonight's subject, we recently published an article, Abba Nekebet, Breath and the Spirit, Ba Baet. It's actually a companion article to the article we did on Ahwa Den Sem, the Abosom Ya Wachet, weight loss and ancestral ritual. So this is a companion article. And as you see, when you look on the website and you look on the promotion for the show, we have the link to our Ojira Sem WordPress site where we have published the article. We just published it the other day. So we want to, like we always do, whether we have a book or a publication, we have 31 books we have published to date. We have two more books being released within the next week and so forth. We also have over 100 articles and so forth. Whenever we publish a book, release an article, we always do a broadcast to examine these issues in detail, to bring clarification and further insight into the points and issues that we address in the publication. Now, before we get started, go to the website, go to the ojirasem.wordpress.com. The name of the article is Abba Nekebet, Breath and the Spirit, Ba Baet. We're going to go into detail about that. You can pull that up right now. Before we get started, a couple of announcements. This coming Saturday and Sunday, we have our Dubakun Akradin Bosom Training Intensive and Ritual Retreat in Savannah, Georgia. We still have a few spaces open. We had a couple of people who had to cancel and transfer their registration from this event to another city. So we have some spaces open. If you would like to attend, you must register now. We're only a few days away. If you would like to attend for both days, you can do that. We also have an option if you just want to attend on Saturday. It's basically only 60% of the registration fee, $60. You receive four books for the $60 fee in addition to vegan food. So whether you want to attend just on Saturday or if you want to attend on Saturday and Sunday, you must register now to reserve your space. You can reserve the space with 50%, so you can reserve the space with $30, and then you can pay the other $30 this weekend. In Jacksonville, Florida, is Monday, which is Memorial Day. We'll be in Jacksonville, Florida. Once again, we have a few spaces available for that. If you are going to attend, you must register now. That is a one-day, all-day event, six-hour event, same thing, $60 registration fee. You receive four books as well as the vegan lunch and so forth with the training. There's an option, pay $30 to reserve your space to make sure you can confirm your space, and then the following $30 on Monday. We also have June 2nd, Washington, D.C., June 9th, Atlanta, Georgia, June 15th, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, June 16th, Toronto, Canada, June 29th, we have Durham, North Carolina, July 13th, we will be in Detroit, and we have a couple more announcements we may be making by later tonight or tomorrow morning, dealing with an event on June 8th, as well as June 30th and possibly June 23rd as well. But these events that are coming up very quickly, we are at the deadline for registration. So if you are going to attend, you must register now, reserve your space, whether you pay the entire fee or you pay the 50%, the $30 50% option to reserve your space, and then you can pay the other 50% later on. So we look forward to connecting with everyone. And of course, we're dealing with the Accra Dean Bosome. This is the first series of retreats that we're having on the 11 Accra Dean Bosome. So this is unique. And the Bosome we're talking about tonight, Abba, who's also called Nekabet, she is one of the 11 Accra Dean Bosome that we will be going over in the training as well. We want to talk about a specific aspect of her functioning, however, tonight. And it's also, as you will see, it ties into the first article, the companion article with Yah, who's also called Wachet. These are sister deities, sister goddesses, sister Abosom. Now, go to the website, ojirasem.wordpress.com. You'll see this article. Give me 1 second. I want to make sure we have everything set up correctly. Okay, so we have the imagery of the divinity, and we're going to go through the imagery and go through this specific cosmological function addressed in the article. The Abosom Abba in our Khan culture is called Nekabet, in our ancestral language of Khanit and Kemet, Nubia and Egypt. She is a protectress of royal sovereignty, and along with her sister Yah, called Wachet, in Kemet, she's called Yah in Akan. They operate through the planets Uranus, which is Yah, and Neptune, which is Abba. They govern Yada, Abada, which is Thursday. And their sister divinities, just like those two planets, those sister planets, ice giants and so forth, Uranus and Neptune. This is Yah and Abba. You'll see Yah and Abba on the forehead of the sovereign and ancient Kemet of the Ain Su, the Per'a, so-called Pharaoh of Per'a, with the Ain Su, the sovereign. You'll see Wachet in the form of a cobra, Nekabet in the form of a vulture. Sometimes you will see both of them in the form of the cobra, Yah and Abba, or Wachet and Nekabet. They are protectresses of royal sovereignty, fire-spitting cobras, and so forth. They govern the magnetosphere of Asase, of Earth, and also the magnetic field of our bodies. In the Yoruba tradition, Abba, as she's called in Akan, in Yoruba, she is the Orisha called Oba. In the Ebe tradition, Abba is the Vodou called Ayaba. So in the Orisha tradition, Oba, in the Vodou tradition, Ayaba, in Akan, Abba. You'll find one of the praise names, Abba, is also Baba, and you'll find that same term associated with Nekabet in ancient Kemet, just as it is in the Akan tradition. So, Abba is one of the Akradin Bosom Dubakon, meaning one of the 11 Akradin, Bosom, 11 divinities who animate the solar, lunar, and planetary bodies governing the 7-day Akan week. Male and female deities governing the solar, lunar, and planetary bodies that govern the 7-day Akan week. Of course, Akan people established the 7-day week tens of thousands of years ago. The whites and their offspring would learn about the 7-day week from our people thousands of years later. We have our chart here, the Akradin Bosom chart, because they not only govern the solar, lunar, and planetary bodies that govern the 7-day week, they also govern the 11 major body systems within Afro-Akani, Afro-Akani people within the Afro-Akani, Afro-Akani black, African black body. This means that the 11 major body systems are shrines for these 11 Abosom, these 11 divinities within our bodies. As shrines, the major body systems receive and retain the energy of the Abosom, the deity, for us to fortify ourselves with and to also build an energetic bridge of communication from our spirit to theirs. You can think about a shrine in a certain capacity similar to a battery, like a rechargeable battery. You can charge the battery full of energy, and that energy is contained in that entity, and when it's time to utilize it to power some appliance or power some apparatus, then it can be released. When we set up ancestral shrines or deity shrines and so forth, in one capacity, that is what's taking place, but it's also a seat for a divinity to come and dwell, take possession of, and come and dwell in that seat while we're having communication with that divinity. It's like setting a chair out, a seat out, a throne out, so a male or female divinity can come, the spirit can come descend in that area. It's a magnetic force to draw that spirit to that area. They come down and take up a residence in that physical space so we can have a full and optimal communication with them. You look at the 11 Akradin Bosom, you see the 11 solar, lunar, planetary bodies, male and female aspects. Then you'll see the 11 major body systems. Awusi, who's called Asar and Kemet, governing the endocrine system. Ajua, who's called Aset and Kemet, governing the reproductive system. Benna, who's called Heru Bedat, Heru Bedet, Heru Kuti, and so forth, governing the immune system. Abena, who's called Sekhmet, governs the lymphatic system. Akua, who's called Nebethet, governs the renal system, which is the excretory system. Awuku, who is called Set in ancient Kemet, governs the nervous system. Yao, who's called Heru, also called Heru Yao in ancient Kemet, he's called Yao in Akan, governs the circulatory system. Ya, who's called Wachet, governs the digestive system. Abba, who's called Nekabet, governs the respiratory system. Afi, who's called Hereru, governs the exocrine system. And Amin Men, also called Men, governs the skeletal system. So you see these 11 major systems in our bodies. These are shrines for the energy of these divinities, centers of resonance for their unique configuration of energy, so we have a center of resonance to communicate with and build a bridge of energy to connect with them. As shrines, we say the major body systems receive and retain the energy of the Abosom for us to fortify ourselves with and to build an energetic bridge of communication from our spirit to theirs. Now, Abba is shown, as you see in the imagery, as a woman wearing the royal headdress of the Mut, or a vulture. She is also shown in the full form of this sacred Achinebwa, of this animal totem, the vulture, the Mut. Mut means mother in ancient Kemet. Mut also means vulture. So you'll see her wearing the headdress of the vulture, but sometimes they just show Nekabet as a great mother vulture herself. There's a direct relationship between the function of Abba, Nekabet, functioning through the magnetosphere and the respiratory system, the spirit, and the breath. So we show an image of the vulture, and then we show an image of the heart-lung complex with the trachea and so forth, and bronchial tubes and so forth. Excuse me. So the sacred moot or vulture has one of the greatest wingspans of any bird in the world. The moot or vulture is also the highest flying bird, able to fly beyond the troposphere and even into the stratosphere. As a sacred animal totem, this divine form of Abba is found within our bodies in the respiratory system. The lung structure with the heart in the middle reflects the breast of a bird, which is the heart, and folded down wings, which are the lungs. When the lungs begin to expand and contract, this is the batting of the wings of the bird. As we draw in air and oxygen, we are also drawing in the solar fire of the Atenit, the sun. The commingling of air, oxygen, and the solar fire within oxygen has its corollary in the commingling of the sacred moot, the vulture, governing the lung structure as the respiratory apparatus, and the sacred ba or bayet bird dwelling within the very same lung structure under the dominion of Abba. So on one hand, with the respiratory system, you take in air. But when you're taking in air into that system, you're also taking in the solar fire that you can utilize and expand to heat you up and so forth. So you're taking in air, but you're also taking in that solar fire. This has its corollary with the great moot, the great vulture, Abba, the folded down wings and the breast of the great bird sitting inside of your chest is the heart-lung complex. The heart being the breast and the lungs being the folded down wings. But then just as that respiratory system is a great bird and the expansion and contraction of the wings draws in the air and so forth, but you're also drawing in the solar fire. And that solar fire manifests through the ba or bayet, the spirit, and is represented as a bird. The ba for males, bayet for females. That is the term for spirit. Just like we have a ka or kayet, which is a soul, which is a deity that dwells in the head region. We also have a spirit, which is called ba for males, bayet for females. Ba is called bra in Akan, just like ka in ancient Kemet and Kanit is called kara in Akan. So you have the soul, ka. In Akan, we say kara. You have the spirit, ba. In Akan, we say bara. Same thing. The soul is the divine consciousness, the divinity that carries within it the operations, all of the blueprints of how you have to function in every aspect of your life, similar to your brain, is the organ in the head region that has the blueprints of every function of every cell and organs and organ system wired within it. That's the brain is the physical manifestation or seat of the soul, the ka, the kayat, the divine consciousness. But then you have the ba and the bayat, which is the spirit. And when we talk about spirit in our book, Rakit Hinasperet, we talk about the etymology of the term spirit, a seperet, which doesn't come from the Indo-European language phylum. It talks about causing something, sa, to come forth, peret, seperet. That's why the ba is the, and bayat is the spirit, is that which is caused to come forth. So you have a spirit, which is a divine living energy. You have the air within the lungs, but then you have the solar fire in the air. You have the great vulture, the great bird with the expansive wings, and inside that bird is a smaller solar bird. One, the great bird is dealing with the air and so forth, and the atmosphere and the magnetosphere. And then the smaller bird is the solar energy that's captured. Just like the earth has a magnetosphere, which is governed by Abba and Yah, Nekhabet and Warchet. But that magnetosphere, yes, it holds the atmosphere and the air in the atmosphere and so forth. Of course, outside of the atmosphere, when you get into space, there's no air or oxygen. But inside the atmosphere of the planet and within the context and within the wings, quote unquote, of the magnetosphere, the magnetic field around the planet, the atmosphere is contained within that. But that atmosphere and magnetosphere also receives and retains and traps and processes solar energy, fire, heat. So you have the air, but you also have the heat, the fire. You have the great bird, and inside the great bird that's governing the atmosphere within you, you also have the solar fire bird. That is the Ba or Ba'at. So we show an image of the Ba, Ba'at and Ba, the male and female, or female and male spirit, birds and so forth. The term for the spirit, the divine living energy animating us, permeating our entire spirit body. And the spirit body is called Sahu, but the divine living energy that permeates the spirit body, just like solar heat can permeate your entire body and heat up your entire body. So you have a body, but then you have solar energy circulating through your body. You have a spirit body, Sahu, as it's called in Etchikameta, Sum Sum, as it's called in Akan. And then there's fire, solar, fire energy that's permeating that entire spirit body. That divine living energy, that animating energy is the Ba or Ba'at. Ba for the upright Kani male, Ba'at for the upright Kaitni female, in the language of ancient Kemet. The Ba or Ba'at is a spirit force, a child of Ra and Ra'at, the creator and creatress, called Nyonkumpon and Nyonkumton in Akan. Ra and Ra'at in ancient Kemet and Kanat are called Nyonkumpon and Nyonkumton in Akan, the creator and creatress of the universe. They are grandchildren, by the way, of Amenet and Amen, the Supreme Being, or Nyamewa Nyame. But they are the creator and creatress. In Yoruba, they're called Odumare and Oshumare. In Ebe and Fon, in the Vodun tradition, they're called Da and Idokwedo. Ra and Ra'at, as creator and creatress, direct one of their children as a divine spirit force to take up residence within our spirit bodies. That means a spiritual entity is sent to take up residence in your spirit body. Just like you can take a deep breath, you will pull a substance from outside of you, inside of you. You'll pull air from outside of your body into your body so it can circulate through your lungs and give you vitality. And you're also drawing solar fire inside of you so it can operate within you. The spiritual force animating that solar fire is a conscious spirit entity who came to dwell with you. Because it was assigned to you by Ra and Ra'at, it is one of their children. Because your Ba or Ba'at spirit, that spirit divinity, was assigned to you, it is your spirit, it belongs to you. Just like your Ka, and Ka is your soul, it belongs to you, but it's a divinity dwelling in the head region. So, they send one of their children as a divine spirit force to take up residence within our spirit bodies. This is the divine living energy that animates us. It is the divine force operant within the solar fire, which we can direct ritually. This divinity called Ba or Ba'at, a spirit assigned to each of us, as Afurakani, Afurakaitni people, African black people, and us only. The whites and their offspring do not have a Ba or Ba'at, a divinity dwelling within them. They do not have a Ka or Ka'at, a divine consciousness, a deity dwelling in the head region. They just have weak, energetic bodies with no Ka and no Ba. That's what differentiates us from them fundamentally. The degeneration of their melanin content and their disfigurement morphologically, which makes them white skin, melanin recessive, perverse morphologically, beasts, that comes afterwards. But the fundamental difference is they do not have a Ba, they do not have a Ka. That's white Europeans, white Asians, white Americans, white Hindus, white Arabs, white pseudo-Native Americans. No non-black person has a Ba or Ka, Ba'at or Ka'at, never has and never will, until they become extinct, until we make them extinct, without any exception. So they have no capacity to communicate with any deity, as we will see. Now, this is the divine living energy that animates us. A spirit assigned to each of us as Afurakani, Afurakani people is seated in the heart-lung complex region. So just as we said, look at the heart-lung complex, similar to the magnetosphere and the atmosphere surrounding Earth. Nekhbet governing that great magnetic field that's swinging out from both, you know, the North Pole, South Pole, you know, surrounding the planet. The atmosphere, the air, the oxygen, and so forth in the atmosphere is contained within that magnetosphere within the planet. But then there's a solar fire that's drawn from outside the planet, drawn into the planet, into the magnetosphere, and contained and quote-unquote trapped, but contained and retained within the atmosphere as well. So you have the air, but you have the fire. You have the great vulture, the great bird, and inside her wingspan is that small solar bird. We absorb solar energy and heat through the breath. This solar energy, primarily through the breath. This solar energy is carried within oxygen through the bloodstream, thereby permeating the entire body. In the same fashion, the divine living energy animate within through the solar fire permeates our entire spirit body. We are not only vitalized by this energy, but for Afurakanu, Afuraikaitnut, Africans, black people only, our Ba or Bayat is also our energetic link to the Bau Abaitu, the spirits, the Ba's and Bayats, or the Bau and Baitu of the deities and ancestral spirits, an energetic link. Just like if you take a deep breath and you close your mouth, you have a pocket of air in your lungs, and then the great atmosphere full of air outside. If you open your mouth and take a deep breath once again, the little pocket of air in your lungs connected to the air through your trachea, through your mouth and your nasal passages is relinked to the great source of air outside of you. Now you have the great source of air going directly into the pocket of air. There's a direct link between the pocket of air in your lungs and the great source of air outside of you. The solar energy coming from the sun 93 million miles away, reaching our planet, bathing the earth and so forth, entering into the atmosphere, being contained within the atmosphere. When we take deep breaths and we also absorb that energy through our abatum, our melanin and so forth, but we take a deep breath and pull that energy in, that solar energy through the breath. Now what was once outside of us is pulled inside of our bodies, gets into our cells, that oxygen is carried throughout the cells and so forth, through the bloodstream to every part of the body. So it permeates us. So we have an energy link. The energy radiating within us is a direct link to the energy radiating through the spirits that animate the sun, moon, planets, black substance of space, oceans, rivers, mountains, streams, atmosphere, core of the earth, and so forth. We have a direct energetic link through our Ba, our spirit, to the Ba and Ba'at of the various deities and ancestral spirits. We have a conscious link through our Ka and Ka'at, so we can learn from them. We have a spirit link, a power link through our Ba and Ba'at, so we can become empowered and edified and fortified in our energy complex from them. And then we can utilize that energy to power our function, to execute our function. It's one thing to be given a blueprint of what you need to do in creation, but you also have to have the power to execute. And not just any power, but a uniquely configured or a unique configuration of energy, a unique energy complex. And that takes on further nuance when it comes through a specific patriclan and matriclan. These blood circles, we have deities that govern our patriclans and matriclans. Just like you have DNA from the father, DNA from the mother, a unique signature, DNA signature from the father that you receive from the father, genetic material, unique signature you receive from your mother, that genetic material it blends to create a being that looks similar to them, but you're also a different individual. But you have the spirit force that animates what you're given from the father, that patriclan energy, and the spirit force that animates the matriclan energy. That's a unique configuration of energy that combines within you. Your Ba animates that unique configuration so you can execute your unique function in the great divine body. We are cells within the great divine body, but we're unique cells. We're not all the same. It's like the cells in your body are not all the same. Heart cells are different from immune system cells, which are different from liver cells, which are different from pancreas cells, which are different from bone marrow cells, and so forth. Each one has its own form and function to execute. They have a unique configuration of energy. And so do we as Afro-Rakani, Afro-Rakani people. Now, we show the images two Medutu symbols that combine to spell out Ba, the Ba bird, and so forth. We also show some statuary from ancient Kemet. The Ba or Ba'et is shown as a bird with a bowl of burning incense in front of it. Sometimes you'll see the bird. Sometimes they'll show the bird with a bowl of burning incense in front of it. Also as a human-headed bird. The Ba can also be shown, and Ba can also be shown with a solar disk upon its head. And we show a couple of instances of that. The Ba, Ba'et, with the burning bowl of incense in front of it, as well as the Ba, Ba'et, wearing the golden solar disk, references its solar fire, nature, and the divine living energy born of Ra and Ra'et. Ra and Ra'et created the sun as well as the other various stars and so forth. They are not the sun god and the sun goddess. They created the Aten Atenit, the sun and the various stars, and they utilize the stars, including our star, the sun, the Aten Atenit, or the Oriya, as it's called in Akan, the sun. As fit, they use stars, including our sun, as the physical transmitters of their spiritual energy. So, because they are the source of divine living energy, and the Ba, Ba'et, is born of them, then they take on that solar nature, that animating fire. This is why they have the solar disk and so forth, or you have the bowl of burning incense. Now, then we show an example below that, and that example is the Ba. You see the brother, brown-skinned brother, afro, and so forth, his head on the body of the bird. This is the royal, whose name is Yuya, who lived during the 18th dynasty in Kemet. This is an image, a sculpture of his Ba, of the Ba bird, of his spirit. His head is on the body of the bird, showing, sometimes they would just show the bird and say that's the, represents the Ba, the animal totem for the Ba, the spirit of the individual. Sometimes they would place the head of the individual, so you say, oh, that's his Ba, that's his spirit, as opposed to somebody else's. Yuya lived during the 18th dynasty. He's the father of Queen Ti, and then her mother is Tuya. He's Yuya, she's Tuya. He's the father of Queen Ti and the grandfather of Akhenaten. The human head of the bird is that of the individual to whom the bird, the Ba, belongs. Once again, the breast and folded wings of the Ba Ba'et bird is in harmony with the heart, breast, and lungs, folded wings within your body. Within the heart-lung complex, we have the Ba Ba'et bird dwelling, bringing the solar fire into the system. To give further definition and nuance to that reality, the physical shrine of the Ba Ba'et within the heart is the endocardium, the inner membrane, while the physical shrine of the heart aspect of the heart-lung complex governed by Abba is the epicardium. So we show image of the heart, you know, a cutout and so forth, dissected image and so forth, and you'll see the heart, you'll see the outer membrane, but then you see the inner membrane. The outer membrane is the epicardium, the inner membrane is the endocardium, and then right and within the endocardium, you have, you know, the right and left ventricles and the right and left atrium and so forth. But the endocardium, the inner membrane, the seat or shrine of the Ba Ba'et bird, that outer membrane with regard to the heart-lung complex is governed by Abba. So you have the great bird containing the smaller bird. You have the atmosphere containing the solar fire within the atmosphere. You have the great vulture containing the small Ba bird within. So you have air, but you also have fire. as Afurakani people, African black people, our spirit, our Ba, our Ba'et, is the divinity assigned to us by Ra and Ra'et, the creator and creatress, to dwell with us for our entire existence. It is a divinity that we can invoke to increase our vitality. It is through ritual invocation of our Ba, Ba'et, that the energetic link to the Abosom and Nananom Nsamanfo, deities and honored ancestral spirits, allows us to experience spirit possession and spirit communication, which is inclusive of divination. Through that energetic link of the Ba Ba'et, we link our spirit to the great Ba and Ba'et of the deities and the ancestral spirits. Now that there's an energetic bond created, that spirit can travel across that energetic bond to engage the process of spirit possession as well as spirit communication. This is the capacity that we have that no other people have. They can only communicate with their dead, criminal, spiritually deficient and disfigured relatives, Asians, pseudo-Native Americans, white Europeans, white Arabs, white Hindus, white Asians, white Americans, white, all non-black people. That's all they can communicate with. We have honored ancestresses and ancestors, a class of spiritually cultivated ancestresses and ancestors, the Nananom Samanfo, the Egungun, the Kuvito, and we also have the forces that animate all of creation, the deities. We can connect with them energetically. The whites and the offspring cannot. It's similar to if you were standing outside in the hot sun, an 80-degree day, the sun beating down on your melanin, on your skin will become more brown, and you'll also be empowered by that solar energy. Your melanin will photosynthesize that solar energy and transform that solar energy into nutrients for your body, as well as energy for your body. If someone was outside and they went into a shed and closed the door, the solar energy will be beating down on the shed. Inside the shed would be very, very hot. So that individual would feel some heat, residual heat, because they're inside of a box. But they will receive no direct sunlight. They will receive no direct empowerment. Their eyes, the melanin within their eyes, the melanin within their skin would not be empowered or vitalized because they're blocked off, because they're inside a building that's not translucent. They'll be hot, but they will receive no direct sunlight. And if someone remained in that building, their eyes would deteriorate, their eyesight would deteriorate, their health would deteriorate and so forth, receiving no light, no vitality, no capacity to photosynthesize that sunlight and transform that into vitamin D for their, you know, bones and so forth. They wouldn't receive that kind of vitality. They would just have the residual effects of heat, but no direct connection to that great force. That's like the whites in Arrow Springs standing next to a black person outside. A black person can get possessed by the divinities. The whites in Arrow Springs have no capacity to. Now, the Ba Ba'et bird dwells within and is empowered by the protective wingspan of the great bird, Aba Nekabed. We show her image of the great vulture with the outstretched wings, and then we show the heart-lung complex with the bronchial tubes and so forth, and you can see that representation. Now, and the images below that, we go further, we show the man along with his Ba, spirit, and the woman along with her Ba, spirit. These are scenes after death. And you'll see these scenes in the different papyri, like the papyrus of Ani or Anui, papyrus of Hunefer, and the various papyri and so forth. You'll see what happened to the spirit of the individual after they separate from the body. So here, this is the spirit body of the man after death and so forth. He's going to the spirit realm to connect with the deities and so forth. Same thing with the female. But one of the things that they do is they seek to be replenished or revitalized by the energy of the Abosa, of the divinity. You see the divinity Nut, the great mother goddess Nut, and so forth, within that sacred sycamore tree. She's revitalizing the spirit body of the individual. She's revitalizing the Ba. She's pouring out libation, and the individual is receiving that from her. But the individual's Ba, or spirit, the same thing with the female. She's receiving that libation, but then her spirit, her Ba'et, is also receiving that libation. Being revitalized, being fortified, and so forth. And then once they're refortified and revitalized and re-energized, then the Ba will enter back into the spirit body of the man. The Ba'et will enter back into the spirit body of the female. Now they're she is replenished, rejuvenated. He is replenished, rejuvenated. Now, we showed that just so you can see, first and foremost, how the Ba is a separate entity that dwells within us that we can direct. But the Ba must be re-energized. You see that energetic bond, that energetic link from the deity. She's pouring libation, but that's represented that energetic link from the deity, the force in nature, the divine spirit force in nature, creating an energetic link directly to the spirit of the individual and directly to the individual himself or the individual herself. Now, being replenished. Once replenished, the Ba, the Ba'et, will take its place again in the heart region inside the spirit body. The Ba Ba'et bird is nourished and replenished by the mother divinity. This, as we said, are scenes are after death. But during life, this same process takes place. With regard to breath and spirit, the tree structure, as you see in the symbolism, is the tree of the quote-unquote tree of the bronchial tubes within the lungs with their branches and so forth. That's the tree structure that's releasing oxygen with the fire. The Ba, Ba'et bird, sitting inside the heart endocardium of the heart-lung complex is rejuvenated with energy. As we begin to breathe in and out more rapidly, the fanning of the flames of the Ba, Ba'et energy increases. The solar fire in the blood is purifying. So we talked about the endocardium, which is the inner membrane. The solar bird with the breast and the folded wings are sitting inside the inner membrane. The outer membrane, the epicardium, that is the domain of the great mother, Mut, Nekhabet, Abba, and so forth. We should also mention that the fluid-filled sac that surrounds the heart and keeps it stable and so forth, the pericardium with the pericardial fluid and so forth, as we talked about in our four-part series on the female cat divinity, Bastet, she governs the pericardium in her unguent jar, her sacred oil jar and so forth, that's full of quote-unquote oil or lubricant. That is the pericardium. That's the oil jar, and the heart sits within that fluid-filled sac. But here we're talking about the endocardium and epicardium. Now, as the lungs begin to expand and contract, Abba, the great Mut, the vulture, is beating her wings. This expansion and contraction of breath in the lungs co-mingled with solar fire of the Ba, Ba'et within the blood, as the blood is oxygenated through the lungs, generates our atmosphere. So as lungs are expanding and contracting, we're generating an atmosphere. We're generating not only through oxygen and air and so forth, but generating through expansion and contraction, that fire energy, we're generating our magnetic field through that expansion and contraction of the wings of the lungs. We're generating our atmosphere. This, in concert with the fuel and fire of the digestive system, governed by the Abosom Ya, the goddess Ya, called Wachet and Kemet, generates our magnetosphere, the electromagnetic field surrounding our bodies. So this is how Ya and Abba work together. Wachet and Nekhbet work together. They both govern the magnetosphere, the electric and magnetic aspects on the feminine side of the magnetosphere, the electromagnetic field. That electric energy, expansive energy of Wachet or Yah, that contractive energy, magnetic energy of Abba or Nekhbet, that centrifugal force, that externalized force, outward force of Yah or Wachet, that centripetal force, that inward moving force, that contractive force, magnetic force, governed by Abba or Nekhbet. So they govern the magnetosphere, and they'll be shown as, sometimes they'll be shown as twin winged serpents. Not just serpents, but twin winged serpents. And those winged serpents, again, you're dealing with the wings within the lungs, the bronchial tubes, the wind and so forth, and the expansion and contraction of the wind generates our atmosphere, the energy surrounding our body, contributing to our aura and so forth. So that's one aspect of it. But you have the respiratory aspect that pulls in the solar fire, but then you also, and that's governed by Abba or Nekhbet, but then you also have the digestive system. So when we're consuming food, that's transformed into fuel, and that generates a fire in and of itself as well through that digestive process. So you have the digestive fuel, and then the digestive fuel and fire from digestion, the great serpent inside the body, the mouth leading to the esophagus going down into the stomach and intestines, so forth, that great serpent within the body, dealing with digestion, generating the fuel and fire of the digestive system. But then you have the fire coming from the respiratory system through the breath. You breathe in air, breathe in the solar fire and so forth, fanning the flames of that fire. You take in food through Wachet, through Yah, consumption of food, generating that fuel and fire and so forth. So from both sides, the digestive system, respiratory system, different aspects of that fire, that fuel, governed by Yah and Abba. Now, this is generating our atmosphere, respiratory system, and magnetosphere. Now, we can project our energy through our electromagnetic field to reach out and quote-unquote touch the magnetic fields of plant life, animal life, mineral life, and afuraikani human life, even just on a basic level. It's like two magnets on a table, they have magnetic fields. So this is why when you have the light polarities facing and they repel one another, once one gets into the field of the other, when you slide the magnet across the table near the other magnet, once it gets into its field, the two fields touch, and it pushes the other magnet across the table without actually touching the physical body of the magnet. The fields touch and push one another around. And that's just on a basic mundane level. The same thing happens with us, plant life, animal life, mineral life. But then there's a further piece when the Ba, the divine living spirit animating us, but also spirit animating plant life, animal life, and mineral life, beyond just a magnetic bond, there's a spiritual force bond, conscious spiritual force bond where we can communicate with those deities. So that's the difference. The same is true when connecting with the spirit bodies of the Abosom and Nananomon Samam for the deities and spiritually cultivated ancestresses and ancestors. Just like you can stare at somebody across the room and they can feel you staring at them, that's just electromagnetic energy being projected through your magnetosphere across the room. That's just basic, mundane level, operation. But through that projection of magnetism, just like the two magnets, through that projection of magnetism, you have a divine living force animating you that you can direct. Then through the magnetism, you can infuse that solar fire, that divine living energy, and you can connect through that magnetism, the other person's magnetism, with their divine living energy. And now through the magnetic fields touch, but then inside the magnetic fields is solar fire. Then that touches the solar fire of the other individual. The ba-ba-it of one individual's energy touches the ba-ba-it of the other individual's energy, and now you have an energetic bond, and now spiritual communication can take place. And of course, only our people can do that. So that's the difference. Once connected electromagnetically, the solar fire of our ba-ba-it can bridge with the ba-ba-it of the Abosom and Nsamanfo to affect spirit possession and spirit communication. And this is where we get our education from. When it is spoken and said that Tahuti is the great divinity of writing and numbers and calculation and so forth, and Seshat is the great female divinity of divine wisdom and writing, calculation, and so forth. When we say, where do we learn math from? And we say, well, Tahuti, the great divinity of wisdom and healing and divination and writing, as well as Seshat, great divinity of wisdom, divination, oracular systems, writing. When we say Tahuti and Seshat, Sankofa and Sankofawa, when we say that they taught us, we're really saying that they taught us through spirit possession. They would show us, make us draw a certain symbol, point at that symbol, enunciate the sound vibrations associated with that symbol, and urge us to repeat that. And then we just learn the symbol from the deity and the name of the symbol from the deity. That is how we learned all of the Medutu, the hieroglyphs, directly from Tahuti and Seshat. They gave them to us through spirit possession and spirit communication. We recorded that information and perpetuated that ever since. Now, we receive energy replenishment, empowerment, and guidance via such exchanges. When bonding magnetically and spiritually with plant life, animal life, mineral life, and Afurakani, Afuraitaitnit, African human life only, we are able to harmonize our thoughts, intentions, and actions with one another and function in creation in a balanced fashion. It also allows us to search through that energetic bond to determine where imbalances exist and how to restore order. This is the basis of learning how to procure the medicinal substances of plants, animals, minerals, and the healing power of Afurakani, Afuraitaitnit people. So we show an image here, and we say ritual invocation of the Ba-Ba-It, our personal spirit divinity, occurs through ritual prayer, ritual song, ritual dance, ritual movement, ritual breathing, and more. Whenever you engage in action like that, movement, moving that life force fire energy through your system, you're engaging a ritual process of invocation of the Ba and Ba'at. Through these means, we are able to invoke our sacred bird and direct that sacred solar bird within us to expand his or her radiance and solar fire. So what do we mean by that? You see the image of the brother with the falcon, and in falconry, just as one can train and direct a bird through falconry, it will land on the forearm of the person. They direct the bird to go out. The bird flies out and goes and hunts and so forth, captures an animal, and then flies back and lands on the person's arm or shoulder and so forth. Just as we can train a bird through falconry, and we can demonstrate that, so can we direct our spirit, our Ba-Ba-It, our solar fire bird within us to expand its solar fire to different parts of our bodies, organs, glands, joints, etc., for healing and strengthening. On one hand, people, you see that on just a mundane level. Of course, people can work out, exercise. When you're exercising, you're sending blood to those organs. When you're sending blood, you're sending oxygen and life force energy and so forth. So you're engaged on a lower level of vitalization in that fashion. When you see people engaged in martial arts and they're channeling quote-unquote chi or ki energy, and of course that term is a title of Ra from ancient Kemet. It has nothing to do with the Asians, but when they're channeling energy so they can break a board or break a cinder block and so forth, generating fire within them to engage that process. And you see that in Afurakani, African ancestral religious ritual. When people are swallowing fire, walking on fire, and so forth, they're generating a magnetic repulsion to repel certain aspects of that energy so it won't burn their flesh off, but also receiving certain aspects of it. So we have these different things in ritual practice. But when you look at a bird, you, on a basic level, you can see how the bird can be sent out, the falcon can be sent out to execute a certain task or set of tasks and then return and become at rest and sit and become at rest on the perch. In the same fashion, we can direct that life force energy to our arms, legs for martial arts, for fighting, for breaking boards, but beyond that, for engaging in combat and so forth. We can direct that energy to different parts of our body. We can send our solar bird through the different parts of our body to vitalize us. We do that through ritual invocation, ritual song, ritual dance, ritual prayer, various forms of ritual movement, and generation of sound vibrations, which cause those movements to occur as well. Just like sound vibrations can break a glass, someone can sing at a pitch where they can break a glass, sound vibrations gets energy to move. So whether you're moving your body or engaging ritual prayer, song, or chant, getting the energy moving. The bird is flying through your system, generating a field. The more powerful the movement is, the stronger the field is. Now, so we can do that on a basic level, but we also, when we're generating that field of energy and expanding that solar fire, it also allows us to connect with the expanded solar fire, or even not yet expanded solar fire and spirit force of other Afurakani people, of plant life, animal life, mineral life, the Nananomen Samafo, spiritually cultivated ancestresses and ancestors, and the deities, the Abosa, the forces in nature. So we can direct that expanded force to attune to the spirits of plant life, attune to the spirits of animal life, mineral life, Afurakani, human life. It's where we get this notion, the Abosum and Unsumafu for alignment, illumination, empowerment, healing, and strengthening. This is how people are able to engage in real divinatory practice, real divination. We're not talking about divination when people just memorize shell patterns, memorize verses of proverbial wisdom associated with certain shell patterns or number patterns and so forth, casting shells or other implements, memorizing what's associated with the pattern and simply repeating what was memorized. That's not divination. That's just rote memory and so forth. If you're not communicating directly with the spirit of an Abosom or one of the Nsamanfo, then you're not engaged in divination. If you go to somebody and they're talking about doing a reading and all they can do is cast some shells and memorize some patterns and repeat those things to you, and they cannot tell you what the spirit, the deity, or the ancestral spirit is saying to them right now, if they're not either clairvoyant and can see the spirit or clairaudient, they may not be able to see, but they can hear the spirit speaking, or clairsentient, they can feel the divinity in the presence and describe to you the nature of that energy. Various forms of, you know, aligning with these forces. But if someone can't engage the force that they're talking about, then they're not a real diviner. And there are a lot of people who are calling themselves diviners, and they're really not. They're just casting some shells. There's no spirit directing the cast, directing the fall, the pattern, manifest pattern, and so forth. And they can't communicate with an actual divinity. So they're just wasting people's time and money. And we deal with this in detail in our documentary film, which is online on demand right now. You can go download it. If you have not downloaded our film that we released a few months ago, we went around the country, a number of different cities, screening our film, and we placed it on a number of weeks ago after doing a number of different screenings, and we're going to be doing more screenings in different cities. But after we did the first batch of screenings, then we put the film online where you can download it. You can rent it for $11. You can download it for 16. It is Amarukafo Adebisa, African American Ancestral Divination. We're examining the forms of ancestral oracular divination that we preserved in our blood circles here in the Western Hemisphere over the past 300 plus years, specifically in North America, in the United States, with the different traditions, religious traditions, ancestral religious traditions represented. So we have Hoodoo, which is our Khan ancestral religion in North America, Juju, which is the Yoruba ancestral religion in North America, Voodoo, which is Ewe and Fon ancestral religion in North America, Wanga, which is the Gullah ancestral religion in North America, which is Ovambo. Gullah is part of the, or Ovambo people are part of the Gullah constellation. So, and the term Wanga comes from the Ovambo language. So the Wanga tradition, the Ngengan tradition, which is Fang, F-A-N-G, Fang ancestral religion in North America. These different traditions are represented in our film. We have Rekit Kajara Nia Ya Nebit Het, the authoress and founder of Raseki Kemetic Reiki and the Raseki Arts Temple, representing the Ngengan tradition. Voodoo Queen Kalinda Laveau out of New Orleans, representing the Voodoo tradition. Wabet Sashat Tutankwajet out of Florida, representing the Wanga tradition, which is also the Gullah tradition. Mama Mawusi Ashakir, who's representing the Juju tradition, which is Yoruba ancestral religion in North America. Myself representing the Hoodoo tradition, which is our Khan ancestral religion in North America. We examine our forms of oracular divination we have preserved in our blood circle for centuries. We are not dependent on anyone outside of our direct spirit genetic blood circle for our ancestral religion. We are not dependent at all of traveling to Afuraka, Afuraikai, Africa for ancestral religion. We're not dependent on traveling to the Caribbean or South or Central America for ancestral religion. We've been fooled into believing that we didn't preserve our ancestral religious practices or names or ritual and so forth here in North America, and everybody else, whether they were on the continent or in the Caribbean or South America, they preserved the tradition, but we didn't. That is totally 100% false. We maintained our ancestral religious practices intact, fully, the entire time up until this moment. This is what our film is about. And we use those oracular divination systems to guide us properly and empower us on the best means by which to wage war against the whites in our brain, exterminate them, and force the end of enslavement in the Western Hemisphere through the incessant waging of war, physical armaments, as well as chemical and biological warfare. And we utilize root work, conjure, for chemical and biological warfare. We establish the precedent for that in the Western Hemisphere. So that is what our film is about, Amarukafo Adebisa, African-American Ancestral Divination. But that segue, just to give further nuance to the reality that when you're talking about the Ba and Bayet and you invoke your Bayet, make an energetic link to the Ba, the Bayet, the spirits of the deities and ancestral spirits, as well as plant life, animal life, and mineral life, and other Afurakani, Afurakani people, then you have a direct connection. Then you can communicate, you can learn, you can become empowered, enlightened, illuminated, and so forth. You started really having a full, impactful learning experience. And of course, through that energetic bond, this is the foundation of true divination, true spirit possession, spirit communication, and so forth. Our capacity to affect these results are dependent upon our invocation of Abosom Abba. Without the breath, of course, the respiratory system you did within a couple of minutes. But further ritually, when we engage ritual practice, someone sits down for susu hon or meditation and expanding and contracting the lungs, generating the air, but then the fire within the air, stimulating that solar bird as well as the great vulture moot. Through the ritual breath, we go into the spirit realm through spirit possession, spirit communication, that we can have proper and positive interfacing interaction. Our capacity to affect these kinds of results is to align with the one who governs the respiratory system itself, which is the Abosom Abba. We can thus see that our vitality, our rejuvenation, and spiritual alignment is intricately tied with the function of Nana Abba via breath and spirit. The breath, Ahomi, as it's spelled, defined in Akan, and the spirit, the Ba, the Ba'et, the connection between the breath and the spirit is seen on every level. When we say this is a companion article to the one on Yah, who is Wachet, if you look at that, this is the reason it's a companion article. And if you're looking in the on the OG.SM site, you will see a link to that particular article. The reason it's a companion is because when you look at that, hold on 1 second, let me just pull this up real quick. When you're looking at that article, the name of that article is Ahoaden Sim, Health, Weight Loss, and Ancestral Rituals. So we talked about Yah, the Abosom Yah, one of the 11 Akradim Bosom, governing the digestive system. We know what the digestive system does and so forth. It's there to, so we can consume foods and take the energy, vitamins and nutrients and energy and so forth, and use that to our best benefit. So if you're talking about the deity who governs digestion, generally, then also when there is a aberration, when we're engaged in misguided desire and so forth, and we're overeating, and because of other issues, traumatic and so forth, we allow that to control some of our movements. So therefore, that's what's taking place. But when you talk about digestion, the deity that governs digestion, Yah, Wajet, even when you slip into misguided desire, then the one who governs digestion is the one that needs to be invoked so you can get back on track and start taking in proper nutrients and having the force to repel these misguided desires and so forth so you can move forward. So we were talking about weight loss in this article and ancestral ritual, talking about the $66 billion industry dealing with weight loss and so forth. Many of those billions or hundreds of millions are wasted by our own people being exploited through that system. We have our own ancestral approach to health and wellness. So in that process, we talked about ancestral ritual and talking about susu hum, or meditation, invoking the divinity Yah. In that section is what we say, and this is the connection to the companion. In the section on susu hum ne Adriane, ritual and diet, in that particular article, if you scroll down, we get to the portion talking about the ritual piece. We talked about having a printed image of Yah, sit upright and relax, close your eyes, breathe through your nose and diaphragm, as opposed to the mouth and primarily the chest. Each deep breath is an invocation of the name Yah, Wachet, and is activating her winged serpent shrine within you. And that is accurate. It is also an invocation of Abba, who's the great vulture, whose wings are the, lung tissue and so forth. So when you're invoking Yah and you're focused on her function as the great serpent within the body, that digestive serpent and so forth, and you're beginning that process of meditation, it's also an invocation. As soon as you're breathing deeply and so forth, you're using Abba's lungs or wings to expand and contract within your body. And then you're conscripting your Abba or Ba'et, your spirit, to take up residence and participate in that same process, bringing that soul of fire. So when we're saying that portion, we said each deep breath is an invocation of the name Yah Wajet and is activating her winged serpent shrine within you. Then we say the thoughts, images, urges, smells, etc. that arise are messages that you will be able to contextualize later after the ritual is complete. The more you focus on the image of Yah internally and also the breathing, the more focused and directive her messages, images will become. We're talking about a specific ritual practice, but when we say the more you focus on her, Yah, internally, and also the breathing, when we talk about also the breathing, we're talking about Abba. So you're focusing on Yah, but then you're also focusing on Abba. You're talking about making a change, a transformation. So they work together. Anytime you engage in ritual practice, and you start taking deep breaths and so forth, you're already on a lower level invoking the divinity Abba, the Akradim Bosom Abba. So we're not going to, you know, rehash what we did with any other article. You can, that particular article on Yah, the Abosom, Wachet, governing, and, you know, health, weight loss, and ancestral ritual. We wrote the article, but we also have, we did a broadcast where we went through the entire article meticulously, just like we have done today here. So you can read that article. You can listen to that broadcast, which is a companion to that article. You can read this article on Abba. We will have the archive of the broadcast, of course, up so you can get further elucidation from that. We just wanted to show why these articles are companions, these deities are companions, and the difference with the Abba articles. We go into more detail about that solar bird, the Ba and the Ba'at, in relationship to Abba, and of course, in relationship to Yah. Okay, hold on 1 second, real quick. All right, so we also had another announcement. So we talked about this in the previous broadcast, the crowdfunding effort for Jojo Asona. We talked about his case. They're planning to extradite him from Atlanta to California. His wife, Ama, is raising funds. They're both raising funds for a lawyer. We went into detail about that. Every lawyer said it would be an open and shut case very simply, but it's just this whole notion of extradition from Georgia to California. That's really a waste of time and money, but this is what the Whites and Arrow Spring do. But if Ama can retain a lawyer, they can take care of that. They may even be able to take care of it before and stop the extradition, but even if the extradition happened, they could take care of it rather quickly so Jojo can be back home in Georgia with his wife and with the community to continue the nation-building work. So please contribute to that crowdfund effort. They are at 15% right now. I think it's 15. Last I checked, it was 15% earlier today. It went from 14% to 15%. Every $50 donation is a 1 percentage point. So the other day was at 14. Somebody contributed, you know, they were at 15. Somebody else contributed. They may be at 16 right now, and they're getting closer and closer to their goal. So we appreciate everyone who's contributed. Please contribute to that crowdfund. We talked about, and we just posted this once again, our fourth annual Ojira Mind, Afashe Ojira Mind Conference. Purified Nation, Afro-Arakani, Afro-Arakani people in the Western Hemisphere. Our fourth annual conference is June 22nd here in Washington, D.C. And what we want to do is, the difference with this particular conference, instead of having a number of presenters and vendors and so forth like we normally do, this particular conference, it's the fourth annual. We went into some detail about this in a broadcast a couple of weeks ago. But just to recap that, we're going to have a training on the seven principal values of Ojira Mind as laid out in some of our other publications. We're going to be releasing a book on that day. It is a free conference. You'll receive also a free copy of the book that will be released just prior to the conference. Vegan food will be available and so forth. So it'll be basically a training, a 6-hour training. First half of the day, we'll go through the first half of the book. Then we'll break for lunch. Then we go through the second half and so forth. So we're dealing with Amanie, nationism, the purification of nationalism, those seven principal values of Amanie, nationism. So that's what we're going to be doing on June 22nd. Free event. You must register in order to attend. It is free, but registration is required. We established a crowdfund effort. We're going to be switching venues from the previous venue that some of you have attended our conferences at. We'll be at a different venue, the same venue. We're looking at the same venue that we had the Etchy-Sign conference back in March. This is a new venue. We're looking to go back there again. A venue in the community, Black-owned business and so forth. So that venue is a little bit more expensive, but we want to support this Black-owned business. So we have a crowdfund effort set up for that as well. So we have literally over 5,600 subscribers on our YouTube channel. We have hundreds of people connected to our email list, over 5,000 people on Facebook. So any contribution from a small contribution from different people that will allow us to generate the funds to confirm this new venue, Black-owned business, this is where we would like to host the conference. So you'll see that on the OG.mine page. But once again, for those who would like to attend, we have some spaces. This coming weekend, Dubako Akradim Bosom Training Intensive and Ritual Retreat in Savannah on Saturday and Sunday. You can either go for just Saturday, or you can do Saturday and Sunday. You must register now. We are at the deadline. You must register now to reserve your space. And you can do the 50% down, the $30 down or whatever to reserve your space. The same with Jacksonville on Monday, Memorial Day. You must register now to reserve your space. There's no reservations at the door. You must register ahead of time. The same with Washington, D.C., June 2nd, Atlanta, June 9th, Philadelphia, June 15th, Toronto, June 16th. We have these events coming up. Then we have Durham in North Carolina as well as Detroit. We have these events coming up. You must reserve your space. There's no registration at the door. All registrations are taken care of prior to the event, and most of them weeks prior to the event. So if you would like to attend, if you're planning to attend, you must register now. Simply go to the Dubako page on our website. You'll see the list of the various cities and the dates and so forth. You'll also see the trailer for the retreats and so forth and all the details on the flyers for each city. And simply register. If you have any questions, send us an email, kwesiakhan@gmail.com. You can also hit us up, Kwesi Akhan on Facebook, or Jirafo Akhan on Facebook, and we'll be posting more information in regard to that as well. So we just wanted to go through that article to give, you know, further clarification. This is a new publication we just released. Abba, as well as Ya, and the various other Akradin Bosom, of course, they are part of that training intensive and ritual retreat that we're dealing with in Dubako at these retreats. So you'll be getting even more information on her and all of the other 10 Akradin Bosom as well. So again, Yedase, we thank you for tuning into this broadcast, and Yebeshi Abio, we will meet again. Heads up.